All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, we have finally been recognized for our podcasting prowess.
About time.
It is literally about time. It is, it's been years in the making. We've finally done it, and I invited you here to this award ceremony.
Ooh, black tie. I really would have appreciated a heads up. I feel
it's really weird that you came in your boxers, dude. I assumed you had to go outside to get here. Like, even if you did, thought that we'd be somewhere inside, like,
see,
I'm very
the only people that I do, like, I don't care what people think about me unless they are podcast luminaries.
Yeah,
And then I want to
assume that these wouldn't be podcast luminaries. I get you. You know,
no, I had no idea that's what we were doing. I thought you were just like, hey, and you know, just come meet me at the park. But we're here and.
Yep. I feel like a dipshit. Myself, I'm black tie up top, Winnie the Pooh on bottom.
That's how you roll. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I roll. So that's generally how I like to dress.
It's a power move.
Yeah, yeah. You distract them. It allows me to pretty much rob anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything I want, I can take because nobody wants to look at me.
It's like the filth, you're invisible.
Yeah, I'm completely invisible here. We're being recognized. For this, they're handing out, these kind of championship medals here.
Okay.
And I figured I would send, you know, they don't want me to go up. And I figured, you know, like in the land of the Winnie the Poohs, the boxered man is king.
Okay.
As all the old expression goes, like it's not quite as offensive. So I figured you'd accept the award and take the medal from up there. And maybe it would help suggest what game, we do next.
Okay.
You know, we put it, like, check out the medal, kind of put it in the game computer. Actually now has like a little scanner where we can put any object in it and it will kind of make associations.
Okay. Okay.
You know, 3D printing technology.
All right. So I just walk up on the stage and I'm not going to do a speech or anything. I'm just going to wave nervously at the crowd.
They're already playing you off. Like it's a podcaster convention. Like
with the strings
everyone is sick of this. Nobody in the audience wants to be here.
Yeah.
It started off with 15 second speeches and then someone was like, no. Yes. Yeah. And then it was like, well, thank yous. And they're like, no. And then later somebody came up and said, like, if you have to wave, you know, don't bring your hand above your shoulder.
Right. Right. Everybody's trying to bring their own microphone.
Yeah,
it's really some bullshit.
Really, it's because Ira Glass is going to make a fucking, you know, 3-hour commencement at the end of the when he sweeps the most fuckable award for the 10th year in a row. Potties.
The potties. Okay. Yoink.
Yep.
just industry shills. All of ya. All right.
Look at this metal. Look at that metal. It's kind of weird.
Huh. Wait a minute. It looks like. Wait. Does that shape match the indentation on my chest? Let me just try. Oh no. Oh no.
Oh.
Gary. Gary. I'm trapped in metal. I am a metal man now.
Oh. Well, no. That metal pole.
Take the metal out of my chest.
I'd prefer not to. Come, bleep bloop. Let's go clean my apartment.
I cannot self-terminate.
Well, I know. That's why you're going to clean my apartment.
Okay.
Bleep bloop.
Yes.
Pick up that underwear there.
The shreds of underwear that came off of my pelvis. Extending hands.
Okay. Bleep bloop. Pet pocket.
Crush pocket.
No! Oh! Okay, I'll take the medal. Fuck. All right.
Oh, wow. That sucked.
Yeah,
I was in a very cold place. What happened?
Better mind or you're going to get bleep blooped. Let's put this into the game computer here.
Okay.
Oh, it's a metabot.
What?
A
Pokebot? A Metamon?
Apparently this is a thing. I don't know.
Fuck.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, where we continue the quest for good Gridlin.
People keep on posting pictures of that Cuisinart thing. That is not the Gridler. We call it's the Fool's Gridler.
It's a Mummer's Grid. it's a Mummer's Gridler. And not to be confused with the Girdler.
No.
Big Girder's son.
Right.
Child Protective Services keeps taking away for Girder-related
mishaps. Yeah. This week we're talking about Metabots, a Game Boy Advance game. This is a demand by our backer, Briar. Thank you. Saying, I had fun with this barely tutorialized, mechanically weird game.
I had a suspicion. So as you know, I've been in this game for a while now.
Yeah.
I have a sense when someone's trying to do a secret waff on me.
Yeah.
And I got a secret waff sense from this.
A little bit. A half hour is more than enough to know what you're seeing. And if it's random, as I remember, it's a bad game.
So I'm glad that they said that, because I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings being so violently ambivalent to this.
So we did what Robopon back in the day, the Game Boy Color. That may have been I forget if that was a regular episode or a premium episode, but I remember feeling similarly at sea for things to talk about, because Pokemon are interesting, because animals are interesting. Robots, it's less, there's less, like, I think, ecological extrapolation to be made about them, unless you are doing just like a straight up Mega Man, that like this guy is designed to be Iceman because he works in Arctic climes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. it is robots are significantly, you know, not, and even just if I take away my general overness of robots, these are not as fun designs as Pokemon, where like on a Pokemon. Right. You have your Spoinks or whatever, which is like a pig's head on a spring that can't stop bouncing or it'll die.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. You know, that's fun.
Yeah.
And then this, it's just like, well, it's another shape of robot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But generally, they are all humanoid shaped. So you just get kind of like different chrome attached to them. Gary, I am more idealistic than I want to be. And less cynical than I pretend to be. However, sometimes there is something that confirms that that the universe might be just. I've gone to the Metabots wiki because I want to see some of these designs. Maybe there's some blood to be gotten from that stone. Thankfully, though, there is a listing in the table of contents for fan canon. There's nothing on that page.
Oh, good.
So nobody has put in Metabots fan canon for this. Natsume also ran.
Yeah. This has a good reputation. People like the Metabots.
Right.
People like this game. I was just very, like, I couldn't grasp onto anything in this.
Right.
Like, I kept reading people saying it was very funny. And, you know, not to be a parody of myself, but maybe this is just like some kind of weird anime curve where it's like funny because the main character is lighthearted.
Maybe.
You know, where like they smile a lot and that's supposed to, that's so them. Yeah. I don't understand what was supposed to be funny about it, though. Like,
he says,
no,
holy Metaroni. That's not a thing somebody says.
I don't.
And then everybody else, like every review that mentions how funny this game is, just repeats that same joke.
Yeah. Holy Metaroni, which does sound a little bit like holy macaroni.
Yes.
I'll give them that. It's like a mechanical macaroni. I understand. I understand that part. But it's so boring.
Yeah.
Like, this is so bland. It takes, like, it's like 12 minutes to Metabot in this. Like, 12 minutes of you walking around a lab and doing your you know, Pokemon bullshit.
Yeah, when Briar says, like, that it's poorly tutorialized, I mean, like, it doesn't tell you who to go talk to. So immediately after you talk to somebody, you have to go talk to everybody or try and walk through every single door. It is not just like, hey, go, Professor Oak wants to see you. Oh, shit, a Pokemon. Oh, shit, a dick that you need to fight throughout the entire game.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, the entire world. Here you go.
Yeah, which would be obviously significantly better than this. I feel like the anime or the manga for this act as like a libretto. Like, if you just kind of know what you're supposed to do because you know Metabots.
Right.
Is how this is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really surprised this was a hit, given when it came out and everything, and given how just kind of shitty the Metabots look.
Yeah.
And it just feels like the Pokemon craze, you know, might not have passed, but it also seems like it's too late to just necessarily jump on the heels.
Yeah.
Of Pokemon. And it just feels like it has like none of the spark of that. Like this is, you know, it just doesn't, I don't feel a lot from this. Like the combat system from reading about it, even though it is absolutely bewildering,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you just get thrown into it, feels like it might be more interesting. It feels like a Mega Man Battle Network thing or something.
Yeah. Like, so they do something where you can have 3-on-3 fights, which is something Pokemon wouldn't necessarily do for a very long time. Introducing 2-on-2 fights, you know, I think it was like a decade after this that they introduced that or something. So that's an additional thing. And, you know, also like you choose your attacks based on the parts that you assign to the robot. So like maybe there's a little bit of an element of design, but like, I don't know that that's more engaging than like technical machines, you know?
Yeah. I didn't feel like it was particularly engaging, you know, and I never got too deep in it,
mm-hmm.
but it just doesn't feel, you know, at least initially,
right.
It is too boring to comprehend.
Right.
I don't know. Like, what are you like, what's drawing people to Metabots?
Having beaten Pokemon and wanting more.
Yeah. I guess that's it.
We
solved the Metabots.
Why would somebody pick up Crash Team Racing? Well, I don't know. Like maybe they didn't have an N64, so they didn't get Mario Kart 64, or maybe they had both and they just wanted something different, you know?
Yeah.
The better example would be why did anybody play Diddy Kong Racing? Well, because they finished Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're just extremely horny for Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Snorlax's nut? That guy from a while back. If you're Snorlax's nut.
Yes.
Like this is the game for you.
Sorry, I had to like my soul left my body trying to search my memory for what you were talking about.
You forgot about Snorlax's nut?
I forgot about Snorlax nut, yeah.
How'd you forget about Snorlax nut?
I don't know.
How are you gonna forget about Snorlax nut? How you gonna forget about Snorlax nut? Yeah, boy. I accidentally just closed all my fucking tabs of this too. I'm cranky. It sucks.
You can damn it. You just go to history and reopen that window.
I know. I just
oh yeah. But like it's ridiculous. Like when we talk about there being nothing to hold on to here, it's like you are just a little Pokemaniac. I'm sorry, a Metamaniac who goes and visits the lab where these mass manufactured toys are studied for some reason or researched.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody forcibly sells you a Metabot and then appears later in a mask. That is something from the Metabots wiki talking about what's his name, like Mysterious Mask or something like that. I need to, sorry, the Phantom Renegade. A running gag of the series was Henry almost telling everyone he is the Phantom, with no one ever discovering this fact.
Sounds like a knee slapper.
Oof. Boy, humor.
The other kind of like cultural phenomenon this is in the pocket of that has, you know, long past is robots fighting. You know, the BattleBots thing.
Yeah.
Which like... Yeah. You know, I can't remember where I first saw it, but the whole like never, you know, if you told me as a kid, I never would have believed you that I would have gotten bored with robots fighting. But then BattleBots came out where it's like two remote control cars with wedges glued to them, like just slowly jockeying for position, like Austin Powers turning around in a hallway. And then just, you know, with the cadence of sport.
Yeah.
That just made that show so unwatchably dumb.
Yeah, just incredibly dull. Like it started out really dull because again they're not, I mean, not to get into the pedantry here, but I don't consider a remote control car to be a robot, but like as you went on, like it's a little bit like any competition, specifically like video games, where just the meta completely takes over And you know, you have a bunch of different things, like, oh, this guy's got a wedge and this guy's got a chopper arm. And then everything just ended up being the wedge, because that was all that it took.
It was the only thing that worked.
Yeah.
Like the chopper arm, like, never really worked. Like, you could hit, you know, a robot.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, but that robot doesn't care. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have feelings.
Yeah. All you're doing is costing your enemy money.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's this weird, you know, meta attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meta box. Like the chopper, if I was going to be like, and it's actually, it kind of reverses the rules of robotics, because I have, as a human, I have very little to fear from a wedge bot.
Right, right.
But much to fear from an axe bot.
Yeah.
You know?
Wait a minute. Yeah. No, a wedge bot, like, all that's going to do is keep my door open when I don't want
it. Yeah. Like, and any door could stop it.
Yeah.
Like, the way you stop it is you open a door on it and then it just kind of stuck, like, wedged in there. And it's like, well, you know, it's suicide for me.
Yeah.
And it, like, walks up to me. It might be able to get under my foot and kind of push a little bit.
Right, right.
You know, and my balance is far below average, but I still feel like there's no powerful wedge bot.
No.
Should we say what a wedge bot is in case anyone didn't watch BattleBots, which, like, no one listening to this did, because we're a million years old and it was a shitty show.
Probably we should probably give some kind of context, although people probably managed to glean this. It was a show that, at least when I saw it, ran on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm. It was no comedy involved.
No comedy involved. They just ran it on Comedy Central. And there would be an arena, and there would be a couple of obstacles in the arena, etc. But mostly it was two different, quote, robots facing off against each other. The idea behind the wedge bot, it's a design of the robot where the front is incredibly low. It is to get under your enemy and flip it over. Because, you know, the goal is to make the other enemy robot stop moving.
It's either, stop moving. So you can either do that by destroying it. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember once on a blue moon, they would actually, like, do combat to each other.
Right, right.
Like, they would actually hit each other with mechanical arms. Mm-hmm. But mostly the best way to do that is flip it on its back like a turtle.
Right.
And then, like, sometimes there would be counter wedge bots, which were ones that were flat on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine a Roomba that you could flip over, like a ceiling bot.
Mm-hmm.
And then so those ones would be resistant to the wedge bot, but still, if they flipped it, you know, they would push it into a corner and flip it on its, like, long side, like a coin.
Do you know who you can blame for that? Who you can blame for the wedge bot revolution?
Elon Musk?
Not Elon Musk. Oh. Grant Imihara.
I don't know who that is.
He was one of the B team members of the Mythbusters.
Okay.
I believe he is Japanese. Before he went on Mythbusters, he was, like, the champion of battle bots.
Name sounds Irish to me, Cole. I don't know.
misidentify somebody's nationality. Imihara sounds like a Japanese name. But no, before he went on Mythbusters, he was on BattleBots. He was, like, the reigning champion, because he just, like, he looked at all these robots and said, yeah, this is really dumb. And he just made a wedge that also had, like, a flipper handle on it. So it was like a little spatula that would get under, and it would throw the other, it would throw the enemy robot up and over. Yeah.
You know what that is? That's the same person. It's the person who knows how to consistently win tic-tac-toe and still wants to play.
Yeah.
You know, like, go to hell. like if you know the trick to winning tic-tac-toe, that should be your retirement from tic-tac-toe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not that, like, tic-tac-toe sweeping the nation or whatever. Like,
no.
I think most people have accidentally retired from tic-tac-toe, but the,
accidentally.
You know, yeah, like, if you just know how to play it, if you just know, because, you know, it's a game you can always win or always stalemate.
Yeah.
If you know the correct moves, it's a pretty simple game.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that, like, why are you still playing tic-tac-toe?
Yeah, doesn't seem like there's much in it for you.
Your pathetic need to win is grotesque.
Yeah.
And a horror.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's who you can blame for the wedge bot. Man, I know a lot about battle bots.
It was ubiquitous as hell.
Yeah.
It was boring and on constantly. It was like the entirety of daytime Comedy Central.
Yep.
Was battle bot after battle bot, and it was always boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of the contestants had a really good personality, which, like, you know, surprise, surprise, all these, like, engineers were not super telegenic and charismatic on this show. You know, Parade of Libertarian haircuts. And then the, you know, they just, you'd watch these little robots like slowly. And then they had the hype men, like the two announcer guys who had to try to make it sound exciting.
I think that one of the hype men like was a stand up comedian, but
yeah. But God, what a nightmare that is. Like, yeah. Oh, so do you think you make some jokes about BattleBots? Oh, sure. Like I got a type 5. Like how about a tight rest of your life? Tight eternity for you making the same jokes about shitty wedge bots jockeying for position.
You want to be on TV, huh? Monkey's paw finger curls.
Yeah, it's like Extra season 3, the BattleBot season.
Oh Jesus,
the
BattleBot season. Going to BattleBots.com. Wow, there's a BattleBots video game, Gary.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't done that, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, we're burning all the material now, so now yes. We shouldn't do
it. Right.
Because Metabots didn't give us anything to work with.
No, nothing. It's like
holding, I just don't know what to talk about with Metabots. Like
holding on to fucking water.
Yeah.
Less
the robots.
There's a moment when a scientist just straight up hits a kid.
Yeah.
we can talk about that.
We can talk about child abuse. You ever been hit, Cole?
Just like,
did your parents spank you when they were young?
My very, very rarely. I can remember every instance probably. Mm-hmm. And thinking back to it, at least the story that was told about it, I was cruising for it. So it's really,
you're cruising
hard
to, for the bruising.
And again, nobody deserves that. Right. Don't fucking hit a kid.
Do you remember what you did?
Talking back, sass back.
Yeah. Assassin. Being precocious,
sass back, and just, you know, just not doing what I was told or asked to do.
Kid crimes are interesting to me because like any of them now as an adult, they all seem like not big deals.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand like you have to teach them to be, you know, a big deal. I sometimes think about how, like, I think about how I've raised Pocket and how he like just steps to me and claws me and stuff. And mm-hmm. It's because I played with him when I was young and didn't discipline him properly.
Right.
Like I go back and forth on thinking whether I'd be a good parent.
Mm.
Like I think I'd be like a fun parent and I think I am genuinely a good person, mm-hmm. but I am not good with discipline.
Right.
I think I'd be like Flanders' parents on a little bit, you know, like that would be, I'd more likely to go that way and raise a Flanders, which, you know, up until the moment is actually good.
Right. Yeah. You know, they mostly just have opinions about iron and whether or not it helps them play.
Yeah.
And then eventually they will devour your face.
What do you mean though? I meant Flanders as a son. So he's good until he's
Okay.
I wasn't impugning Rod and Todd.
Okay. I didn't know what you were doing. There we go. Oh yeah. No, definitely. Hi diddly ho diddly.
Diddly diddly doodly.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite episodes of that show, actually. It's like an extremely good episode of that show.
Would you like to walk to your cell or would you rather be dragged kicking and screaming?
Kicking and screaming, please. Yeah. Doodly doodly doodly. Like, it's a really good voice performance. Yeah. Like, I love that. Yeah, did their best.
I think about that all the time. Oh, little Lisa Simpson. Springfield's answer to a question that no one asked.
Yep, it's really good. I also think oftentimes, I mean, this is just us talking about how much we like The Simpsons, but like, I also, that like, if you're looking for me, just try to find the happiest man in Springfield. But don't look at me, friends. I think he's referring to himself. Like, I think about that a lot, too.
Yeah.
I love the happiest man in Springfield. This is one of my favorite bit characters from that show.
Yeah, no, I like, so like most of my kid crimes, with, you know, the exception of like minor shoplifting, I think at one point I stole $7 from Chris's wallet and I immediately felt terrible about it.
I'm thinking about kid crimes specifically, like you get caught for.
Yeah,
like, did you ever get caught shoplifting?
I never got caught shoplifting, no.
Yeah,
and most of the time it was just like I grabbed a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm talking like little. I never had like a teenage shoplifting phase, like, you know,
sure.
people have, but like,
you weren't the original Baby Driver.
No, I was not. So like most of the kid crimes that I got in a lot of trouble for, were just me doing something stupid that would get me hurt.
Yeah.
So like the most in trouble I ever got with my dad was when he found me playing with a BB gun, shooting. I had set cans on a manhole cover and I was shooting down at them.
Oh
yeah. But, you know, like, yeah.
You can see the safety-minded, like, impulse behind that. Like, you were thinking, like, oh, I don't want to shoot off into the distance.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Oh,
I think what I was thinking was these cans need to be shot real good. And my dad pulls up in his car, like, what the fuck are you? He didn't say that, but, like, you idiot. Yeah. Like, you want to lose an eye.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Deal with that.
Chicks will dig it.
We're expecting that answer, were you, pops?
Yeah. So like those were that, like, that was the most profound kid crime that ever got caught in, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the only kid crimes I remember, I'm sure I was spanked a couple times, but I don't have memory of it, but not very often. And then my main getting in trouble memory that I have is wandering off. Mm. Like my, and this is, you know, my dad is super neglectful and not a good parent. In any way. So this is kind of his fault too, but he used to take me to the arcade, like my arcade growing up, while he went to the bar and or bowling alley that was attached to it.
Right.
And I wandered out of the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was still just at the bowling alley, but I got bored. Like, I ran out of tokens.
Yeah.
You know, he would give me like $5 for the night and I would, but it would be long nights, mm-hmm. right? Because my dad was a drug addict.
Right.
So I got bored and wandered around and he couldn't find me. And then I couldn't find him.
Mm.
And he got like super mad at me and like eventually found me. And he was just like really furious. And my main memory about it, which is just like a really weird and kind of sweet thing when I think about it, or there's like a sweet way to think about it, is him like advancing on me in like a fairly menacing way and being really scared.
You know, okay.
My dad? Yeah. Not because he like beat the shit out of me or anything like that. Like, all of his abuses are much more complicated than that. But the me backing away and then him being mad at me later for backing away because he thought other people watching would think that he did hit me.
Mm, yeah.
Like, he was like, you know, I wasn't going to hit you, you know, like,
yeah.
I've never hit you before. And I was like, well, you know, and I was too young and I was trying to, like, it's such a weird thing where I wanted to explain, like, well, I know, but you were still just like, you know, you're twice as tall as me and you're advancing on me angrily and you're, you know, the omnipresent authority figure in my life. Like,
yes. Yeah. And you were not approaching with either a teddy bear or arms wide open for a hug.
Yeah. Yeah. Or concern.
Yeah.
Right. Like, which is where it came from. But it's just like it's understandable to like transfer those emotions to be concerned and have it metastasize into anger very mm-hmm. easily.
Yeah.
Like that, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, kid crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then like all the crimes I didn't get caught for, like all that shoplifting I've talked about.
Yeah.
Like, and it was always like the two like things about that I always think about is, one, I would buy things just based or steal things based on how easy they were to steal
mm-hmm.
without any, you know, concern about what I wanted to do with them. So there was like a fabric store called Joanne Fabrics.
Oh yeah, we had those.
Yeah. And I would be like, hey man, check this out. This is a pack of refills for a hot glue gun. You know, I know a hot glue gun.
Yeah, right.
Just, you know, into having it. And then
this little Christmas tree stand.
Yeah, check it out. Going to this like hippie nature store. There was one like health food store in my shitty hometown called the Duck Soup Coop.
Okay.
Which is a Marx Brothers thing, and that was like the natural food store. And me and my buddy Austin both stole some baker's chocolate, thinking it was just chocolate, and then like eat it in the store, and both had the like, you know, little rascals, like, oh no.
That's a combination of two kid cliches, Gary.
Yeah, it was very, and we both did it at the same time, and then we had like go outside and spit it out, and it was very funny.
That's and really good.
From his mom.
Yeah. No, I definitely wandered off a few times. One time my mom took me to Walmart. I must have been like eight or so years old. And of course I went to the electronics section. And I was kind of hidden away in one of the back aisles there playing on the computer. They had Chips Challenge. And I was like, oh fuck yeah, I'm gonna play Chips Challenge while my mom does the shopping at Walmart.
Well,
yes. I was so hidden away back there that like they couldn't find me. And I was so involved in Chips Challenge that I didn't hear the announcement go out, like, Cole Ross, please. So it was like Jen, like, she was very concerned about it, like, oh my God. Yeah. You know, because it was stranger danger times.
Ginger alert.
I was blonde then. I didn't lose my soul.
Okay.
Until much later. Yeah. Ginger alert. Yeah. No, but yeah, like, but by the time I, you know, inhabited my teen body, and was able to get into kind of more substantial trouble, or at least face stronger consequences, Most of my mischief was like, oh, I would go to the store with some friends and we would set all the alarm clocks to go off at the same time and then wait on the other side of the store and listen for
listen for annoyance.
Yeah.
Like listen for someone to sigh.
Yeah.
Sort of a telltale sigh of someone walking around turning off all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. The kid crimes, man.
Yep, kid crimes. Kid jail.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you go to kid jail, mm-hmm. which is grounding, which was never that big a deal.
No, no.
I just you know, it's like you don't realize how much of an indoor kid I am.
Yeah.
Like no. being grounded.
Please.
Kind of sucks, but I'm okay.
Send me to my room.
Yeah. It is a wonderland.
It's where I would rather be anyway.
Yeah, I would rather be there than having dinner and eating your stupid fucking Brussels sprouts.
Because you don't know how to cook them.
Because you don't know how to cook them. Yeah. Like you have to, you know, they'd be fried. It'd be dry cooked. You can't boil a Brussels sprout.
No, don't do that. It's just a fart orb at that point. Come on.
Yeah, grotesque.
Yeah. Did you ever try to run away as a kid?
No. That's like I wonder how many people really did that because you see that all the time on like movies and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Like there were many times where I packed a backpack and like said, I'm running away. I'm going to go, you know, and then I would get to the property line. I think at one point my mom or my stepdad lost patience with me in the car. And I was like, I want to be here, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you go. And then they pulled over to the side of the road and told me to get out of the car. And so so I got out of the car and like, get back in here. Yeah, we didn't mean for you to say
don't
yes.
Don't call our bluff, you idiot. we call your bluff when you say you're going to run away. You don't call our bluff.
Right.
So.
Just an escalating series of dares.
Yeah. Yeah. There is one bit of GameFAQs gold on this, from the, a review. It's the only review that doesn't like this game.
Right.
By WWE and NWO fan.
Nah, man, they need to pick a side.
Yeah. you can't have
just
it all.
Incompatible.
And this is going to hit a lot of GameFAQs gold cliches here.
Right. Right.
The review is called Horrible, comma, simply put, dot, dot, dot. Welcome to my review of Metabots Meta B version. As you may know, I have two reviews posted for other games, too. But you simply put, are here to hear about this game, aren't you? Another thing before I shoot my mouth off about Metabots Meta B version, why am I doing a review of this game? I want the gaming world to know just how horrid this game is. I mean, the show is great. It died before its time. But it's four games, Metabox AX, Meta B, and Rokusho versions, and Metabots Meta B and Rokusho versions were badly put together. I can't give an unbiased review here. It's not possible. Now, here is my review.
Weirdly, I agree. It is not possible to give an unbiased review. Good.
Okay. Totally.
Yeah.
Good job, WWE and NWO fan. Yeah. Gameplay, 1 out of 10. Whoa. This game has a difficulty like none other. The Pokemon games are half as hard as this. Like, just lots of weird expressions in this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Can't even begin to explain how hard this game is. The game loves to force you to get meta parts for the according situation. This isn't as easy as it seems.
This RPG forces you to manipulate your characters to match. Yeah,
it isn't easy. You get boxed in because you don't have the corresponding meta part. That was really bad. And I hope there is another Metabots game that this gets a complete overhaul. So then I looked at his other reviews at this point because he said, you may know I have written other reviews, but how about this review? So he's done, four reviews.
Yes, including Herbs, Sims in the City.
Including the orbs or herbs. He doesn't like anything. This guy is one of the hardest to please GameFAQs people we found.
Yeah, no. What's funny is he's done a review for NASCAR Racing 2003 season. Doesn't care for that one bit. But they have done a PC, a file hacking guide for NASCAR Thunder 2003.
Oh, so yeah. It's all these franchises he likes.
Yes.
And he doesn't like where they go. The first sentence of the Orbs review is really great. This game was very badly designed because it doesn't fit in with the style of today's world.
It is unstuck in time. It is.
Yeah, I know people actually do that stuff. Don't flame me about it.
Do what stuff?
Yeah, I don't. It's very incoherent gameplay. The section didn't hit me very well because of the sheer intensity of the reputation system. What I'm trying to say about it is that if you have little reputation or rep, it makes you feel left out.
In fact,
my character on my copy has very little reputation. Why?
All you were doing is describing the mechanics of these video games, WWE.
Nobody likes him because of his reputation, which is 129. That seems high, but those strange characters you meet in game, it's not. Sorry, but if you have low reputation, everybody would rather see your character in a dumpster. Oh, one more thing. You play errand boy to a guy named Darius. Sounds bad, huh? Like, this is really, actually, I'm coming around on this guy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
He's very particular about this.
It's very harmless. I just like that he's like, he is just phrasing, like, he's just describing the mechanics of the games as though it's a criticism.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reputation system, and get this, if you have a bad reputation, people don't like you.
Yeah. What's also, there's a little woe is me about this.
Yeah.
Like, everyone wants to see my character in a dumpster. I don't know, man. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's any gold in the Rail Sport Challenge. This is my review for Rally Sport Challenge. Thank you for letting us know. God, game is messed up in parts, but I'll let the review do the talking. The races were, this is more, after that, woo, talk about hard. These are like dictated.
Yeah.
The way to make them quote unquote your dust.
Can you do this like in a Robert Evans kind of thing? Like, wow, I'm not too sure where to begin here.
Yeah. Buy or rent? Buy if you want, but rent it first to see if you want it. If you do, then by all means, go for it. Like my mother says, if you feel froggy, then leap. Your mother sounds like a real idiot.
Do I like NASCAR games? Sure, I do. Do I like this one? Not by a long shot.
The time? When I was a kid. The place? My bedroom. The game? Rally Sport Challenge. The challenge itself? Woo. Talk about heart.
and all of his reviews begin with like just an exasperated enunciation. Wow. Whoa.
Yeah. They actually all do that. The NASCAR one. Wow. I'm not too sure where to begin with. Yeah.
Which is only marginally better. And I forget if it's this game or the one we're talking about after this, where somebody just straight up unironically begins with an ah.
Yeah. Yes.
Ah, Metabots. Multiple
entries which begin with wow. Graphics. Wow. Not. The graphics are way too overrated for this game. This guy is out there.
I think that might be good.
Yeah, I appreciate him more than I appreciate like a Grammatical King style thing.
Right, right.
I think this guy at least feels like a genuine human being.
Yeah.
To me. I appreciate him.
Can I give you a bird feeder report? I've got a morning I've got a mourning dove that's bullying two goldfinches away from the feeder.
Lock of the lock.
Yeah, no. And it's 2-on-1. The finches obviously are very tiny and the mourning dove is big, like in a way that you don't appreciate that some birds are bigger than others until you see them next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now one of them is flying up to my window and clinging to the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now it's gone. Yeah. The males run away, leaving the female goldfinch that's a mated pair. Leaving the female goldfinch to fend for herself on the thistle seeds.
Move in, dude.
Yeah.
that's your cue to move in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Neg that finch.
Yeah. Get there and get some finch, dude. Yeah. Paul Ross, king of finch pussy.
Cloaca king. Fucking yuck, man. I can't believe you made me say that.
Yeah, like Cloaca King 69 here says, wow. What a game. Yeah. Oh boy.
I think that's Metabot.
Yeah, before I mean like, yeah. I had something I was vile I was gonna say, but I'm not gonna say it.
Okay.
More
vile than Cloaca King.
Yep.
Okay.
So thanks. Thank you. Was it Briar?
It was Briar. Thank you, Briar.
Yeah. Thank you, Briar. We really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to dictate a game for us to play, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and pledge at an amount.
Yes. If you cannot pledge at that amount, substantially less, we'll get you two extra episodes of this show per month.
as well as a host of other bonus things.
Yes. So, yeah. Might I recommend you check out Unfilmable?
Yeah. Also at the $5, $5 level. And yeah, good show.
Yeah.
Good show. Fun times.
Think so.
Good show. Fun times. Think so.
Wow.
So if you, you know, and other than that, ratings, reviews are very appreciated, and telling your friends and tweeting and blogging about it, stuff like that. Really appreciated.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah. Take care.
Bye bye. Freak out.